Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Mr. John Heibusch. He's the executive director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, and he's also the author of a new book, which is a thriller, called The Shroud Conspiracy. But we're going to talk about the first days of Trump in office and do a little comparison there with Ronald Reagan, our 40th president. Mr. Heibusch, welcome to the program. It's good to have you on.
Great. Thanks, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Okay, so first of all, set this context here. What is this Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute where you you head that up?
It's we're located at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, and the Reagan Foundation that I run is the one and only organization that President Reagan set up after he left office, before he died. It's a nonprofit organization which is meant to carry on his legacy and spread the word about President Reagan from here to eternity. So we've got an important job.
Yeah. It's nice to even be put on hold on your telephone system and listen to old Ronald Reagan speeches.
Yeah.
I miss that guy.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, it's kind of funny. Oftentimes people will call here, and if they have to be put on hold, they so much enjoy listening to the president that they'll ask if they could be put on hold again so they can hear the end of the speech.
Yeah, really. Okay, well, if this conversation gets boring, maybe you can just put me on hold. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Okay, so some people like to compare Trump to Reagan. Others say, oh, no, that's not a worthy comparison. That's apples and oranges. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's fair to try to compare one thing against another. And in this case, I think it's fair to try to compare the two. I do think, though, that there are so many differences. They really are, as men, as personalities, radically different from one another. But there are a lot of similarities in terms of their vision and where they have their White House taking us in terms of an agenda for the next few years. So I see a lot of parallels and similarities to where they stand on issues, but man to man, they're very different men.
Okay, now, they both seem to be, in some ways, outsiders coming into Washington, D.C., and it was not going to be business as usual, not your normal politician showing up to work, even though, you know, obviously Ronald Reagan had served as governor twice of California.
Yeah, that's right. People saw President Reagan as being an outsider, someone that didn't fit the mold, as it were. And no doubt that Donald Trump comes in that very same light. He's, like you say, he's certainly been familiar with politics his entire career, but he's never been in office before, so he's certainly an outsider in that regard.
Yeah, and in fact, Reagan's, I guess his first political experience directly was when he was in charge of the Actors Guild and had to deal with the issue of communism.
Yeah, that's right. That was the first office he was elected to, and that's actually when he was a Democrat. I recall the president writing and saying that it was that his experience with the Screen Actors Guild that really got him his start in terms of public policy and working with people and having to listen and to think about an agenda and to represent people. So, and he did that really well as the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Now, it seems to me that as far as Trump is concerned, let's say Trump compared to any previous president, any of them, including Ronald Reagan, of course, it seems as if the left is not willing to accept the results of November 8, 2016's presidential election. And so they're just putting in road bumps all along the way, you know, any way they can, and it's getting rather obnoxious.
Yeah, well, as a tried and true Republican myself, I'm not going to disagree with your term of art. I would agree that their opposition, in many respects, is as obvious. It's just essentially a nuisance in my mind. It's they're the loyal opposition. They're expected to oppose, but I think their opposition is it's just very mechanical. It's very knee jerk. No matter what President Trump suggests, they're going to be against it. He could, you know, be for motherhood and apple pie, and somehow they'd find a way to be against that. So I think we expect more of the same for his entire presidency.
Well, and you even hear terms of impeachment, calls for impeachment. We've heard that from Maxine Waters, Robert Reich, who served as Secretary of Labor under the Clintons. What's going on?
They represent the very, very far left, the fringe elements of the Democrat Party, and they have that personality about them. They've been that way since they've been in office. I would expect that same sort of ultra-left liberal leaning to continue out of folks like Maxine Waters and Robert Reich. I think, they fit on as far left of the spectrum as you can possibly get, and we'll just see more of that in the days and months to come, I'm sure.
All right. Now, since you know so much about Ronald Reagan, is there any way in which Donald Trump could have kind of, if you will, a Berlin Wall type moment, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, you know, something like that that becomes so memorable and it becomes a high watermark in his potential presidency? Or, I mean, it has the potential to become that for his presidency.
Yeah, very good. Good point. I would say, I think in all likelihood, his high watermark would have to deal with another wall. That'd be the wall that he's promised to build between the United States and Mexico. And, it remains to be seen how much of that wall is, made of cinder block and cement, and how much of it is done through electronic means and, other means of technology that would form a virtual wall. But I think he would see his moment in the sun that you've described as being the day that he can stand there and say that that this wall, quote unquote, is complete, and that he can claim that few, if any, illegal aliens are making it across the border. That's probably going to be his high water mark, and I would bet he's going to gear every bit of energy he has to that day, and so that he can claim victory, just as you've alluded to.
Well, even right now in the conflict related to the temporary travel ban, so they can be vetted from the six mostly Muslim nations. Now it used to be seven, but even there's been so much hype and misunderstanding and misstatement about that, and of course the courts shut that down initially, and so he revised it, and it seems like it is going into place. Your comments on that, because that's kind of part of the same thing about trying to keep people out of the country who don't mean well for us.
Yeah, I would go back to what President Trump said, I think roughly a week ago, and, he gave himself in a report card essentially an A as it relates to policies and ideas, and a C as it relates to communications, and I would have to agree with him. I think a great, great deal of his problem in trying to control the immigration from those seven, now six countries, really wasn't in the policy, but rather in the ineffectiveness with which they rolled the plan out and very poorly communicated to all the various important but different audiences what they were attempting to do. My presumption is that this most recent set of policies with respect to those six countries will likely stand the test of the law, as it were, because executive authority that he's putting forth has now been written very, very specifically in order to avoid a legal defeat. I think with a staff that gets more seasoned, with more experience and more time on the job, I think they will start to make fewer and fewer mistakes. You know, he's probably making two or three major mistakes a week, and that'll eventually, not maybe be totally eliminated, but with more experience over time, I think the Trump White House will start to operate a bit more well-oiled.
Do you think that maybe somebody might want to keep him away from the Twitter account for a while? You know, something like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I've got no doubt in my mind there are probably half or more of the staff that support the president now would probably like him to, you know, throw his whatever device he's using, if it's an iPhone or something else. But they'd like him to just set that aside, and because that would make their jobs easier. And I would fully understand that from a staff's perspective. I think that President Trump sees it as not only a tool, but a weapon he was able to use most effectively during the campaign. And I have a feeling that once something's worked well for him, he's just going to continue right on using it. So we may not see as many tweets in a year from now, but I think we'll continue to see them, and they might just be thought out a little more. And before he hits the send button, he probably will learn that it's smart to run the language he uses by some of his top advisors so that he doesn't make any inadvertent mistakes.
You know, people might seem to forget, even though Ronald Reagan in retrospect is popular, in his day he was not popular with the mainstream media by any means.
Oh, absolutely, and he
had that beautiful ability to communicate beyond the mainstream media, and I think that Trump is basically learned the same thing. One last question about Reagan and Trump, and then we'll close on you can explain about your new book.
Sure.
That's coming out. And that is the ACLU. They were no fans of Ronald Reagan, and now they're apparently, you know, one of the biggest opposition groups out there to the Trump administration.
That's right. And they'll certainly continue to be. I think they, as they have always been, you just see them marching in lockstep with the Democrats, trying to oppose President Trump at just about every turn. I wouldn't expect that they'll be friends with President Trump, just as though they were also not friends with President Reagan. They're part of that big box of people that fit on the far left of the spectrum in American politics, and I wouldn't expect anything else from them but total opposition, regardless of what it is that President Trump proposes.
All right. We've been talking right now with John Heibusch, Executive Director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, and he's just released a novel. It's coming out called The Shroud Conspiracy. You can get more information at johnheibusch.com. John is spelled the normal J-O-H-N. HEUBUSCH.com. Okay, what is The Shroud Conspiracy, John?
Well, actually, it's a great novel is what it is. It's a, I'd say if you liked anything about Indiana Jones, and if you liked anything about the Da Vinci Code, if you might have read that book, The Shroud Conspiracy is a mystery and a thriller novel that's, essentially a collision between the Da Vinci Code and Indiana Jones. It's an exciting book. It's about the Shroud of Turin is probably the most controversial religious relic in the history of mankind.
It's also the most studied.
That's right. Most studied, most researched, and most controversial of all the relics. It according to many in the church, it contains the visage, a picture, essentially, as it were, of Jesus Christ. And there's many people that believe that this miraculous imprint of our Lord and Savior is on that burial cloth that is sitting in Turin, Italy, as we speak. And this novel is all about what happens when science and faith essentially collide. It's all about two different forces, evil and good, that try to get a hold of the shroud for, in one case, for very good reasons, in one case, for very bad reasons. And the book is all about what happens when the two are in a race against each other to get hold of the shroud and what it might have to offer to them in their plans. So without giving it away, I just would say it's an exciting book that, I think once you pick it up, many that have read it have told me it's really difficult to put down. So,
wow. And you've received rave reviews from Brad Thor, Mark Levin, Scott McEwen. Again,
yeah.
The name of the book is The Shroud Conspiracy, and it's by John Heibusch, who's been with us today. John Heibusch, again, John is spelled normal, but Heibusch is H-E-U-B-U-S-C-H. johnheibusch.com. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Jerry, very, very much. It's been great to talk to you.
Okay, you too. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.